I was telling Marlon, I think, about a week ago, I was preparing for this service, and as I often do, I will create the order of service and look at what the songs could be. And so I go to the piano in the hall, and I set out the hymnal and the Bible. And so this time I did that. I opened up the Bible because I was going to look at the readings, but then I was interrupted, and I went away. And I came back, and I had opened the Bible to Lamentations 1. And I said to Marlon, well, I guess that's what I'm going to speak about. So this may not be a real happy-go-lucky message, but I feel like it's one to convey. You have permission to cry today. You have permission to bring your whole self here, to bring all of your difficult emotions into this sacred space. I am giving you permission to do something that is sacred and holy, to lament. No one wants to cry, me especially, right now. To let tears fall on the pillow in the silence of the night alone in bed is one thing, but to cry in church is another matter altogether. How? How is it that we have thought it improper to do so, when our sacred scriptures include poems and prayers to the Creator that are saturated in tears? How indeed? Oh, how we have walked away from expressing our pain and suffering with each other in a worship service. Of course we prefer to detour around the stories and scenes of suffering bombarding us every day. When we open ourselves up to lament as the poet Jeremiah does in Lamentations, starting with how, we fear the floodgates of our emotions will be opened. How leads to tears and confused emotions about God's goodness or lack thereof. How leads takes us down a road where we mourn with those who mourn. A road that Jesus invites us to walk. Journalists and cameramen have made it possible for us to witness dusty doorways gaping open, surrounded by broken concrete and rebar in war zones in the Middle East. These scenes of chaos are invitations to us to go into the doorways, see who is inside and what their lives are like now that their city has been destroyed. Now that all the roads leading to their once bustling marketplaces are broken up and impassable. Roads that also took them to religious celebrations. Roads once filled with happy people, dressed in their finest garments, making pilgrimage to their sacred places, are empty. Everyone mourns, including the roads that once took them to all that was vital for life. The roads to the people's holy city mourn. The tears came easily when I saw the video made by the members of the Mar Elias Maryanite Church in Rabla, in Syria, a video that took us into the homes of widows, widowers, single mothers, and orphan teenagers. A video I saw at a Syrian dinner event hosted by Habous and Jordi of St. Philip's Oak Bay. Habous shared how much she loved living in Rabla, but once the war destroyed their way of life, she and Jordi and their children immigrated to Canada. With big hearts of love for their city of Rabla, for their friends in the Maryanite Church, they have connected St. Philip's to the church there and has connected them to the suffering and the pain and their need to rebuild. They've connected the people of St. Philip's to Rabla. The video that they showed had us following a man into several homes, handing the old and the young bags of food. Bags of food that St. Philip's helped to provide for them to be able to connect with them and to reach them. As each door opened into this, and in the shadows we saw people, I cried. How many roads to cities mourn? How is it happening that all the roads to Gaza mourn? Even the attempts of people taking sea roads are cut off and mourn. The image of pathways to a devastated city mourning comes from the first poetic prayer in the book of Lamentations. The roads to Zion mourn. It is found several lines down from the one that opens the poetic lament with the word, how. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become. How she weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. How is a cry of pain. It sets the tone of the poems to come, and it set the title of the book as Lamentations. From the outset, with the use of alphabetical progression, beginning with an aleph, the poems give expression of grief and pain from A to Z. All is lost. All the people of the city have left. All the greatness, all the splendor and majesty is gone. All who pursued her have overtaken her. All her gates are desolate, and all her lovers and friends have deserted her and left her comfortless, including her friend God. How is it so? Oh, how much pain and loss have they suffered, the city of Jerusalem, the city of Zion, the city of Gaza, the city of Rabbah, the many places in the world that have been so cremated and of which all their roads mourn. The tears of those who suffer so bring about a debate in the sacred scripture called Lamentations. The book debates different perspectives on how this all happened. That even the roads to Zion, the dwelling place for God on earth, is emptied of people making pilgrimage and coming together for festivals. The Orthodox view of suffering is seen in verse 4, and it is brought up time and time again, with the gasps for breath that their grief arouses in widow-like weeping. It says, "The Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions." Sin has led them to their all-encompassing A to Z experience of loss and suffering. So says this Orthodox view. Here we may raise up our hands and cry out, "How can anyone say this? How can people of faith ever say this in the face of bombed-out cities, desolated and bereft of children to build a new generation with?" Indeed, how? The Book of Lamentations debates this, but does not resolve it. If you read it to the end, you will see that there is no resolution to the theological debate about suffering and faith. Lamentations leaves everyone doubting the view that breaking faith with God has brought about such pain and suffering. The utter devastation of Zion may not be because of anything the residents did against God to deserve it. If the debate is not resolved and people continue to cry out how, then why is Lamentations included in the Old Testament scriptures? It is as though we hear Rilke saying, "Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer." That seems to be the case with Lamentations. This book's theology is not bound to one disaster, not the Babylonian conquering of Jerusalem in 587. It's not bound to one historical background, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. We can read it against the background of any disaster, the war in Syria and Gaza, the desolation faced by First Nations through the residential school system. The energy, the import, and vital nature of the Book of Lamentations is in the holiness of lament itself. Lament is a gift, a grace, a way for healing deep suffering. The poem is our gift, a gift to people of faith, a gift that many in the world, the church included, don't want to open for fear of shedding tears that won't stop. But they will one day. There will be no more tears at the final completion of the Creator's road to a new city. Until then, we cry together. We weep and mourn together, and then we heal together. The road to Zion mourns takes on new meaning. It is a poetic, spiritual, mystical expression of dual purpose. To get back to Zion after being taken from it is to cry out and to listen to the cry of others. Then we find ourselves walking to the sacred city where God's healing presence dwells. Before the war in Gaza, Hala Mohammed lived in Gaza City, in the Al-Karama neighborhood. But now she's displaced and on a farm in the Al-Mawasi area of Khan Yunis City. She wrote this poem. Won't we return, Mom? I walk alone, lost in my homeland. We left, but home never left us. Winter returned, yet we've not. Everyone abandoned us, but cedar and olive remain intertwined. Won't we return, Mom? I whispered, Son, if you see Palestine destroyed today, I see it free in your eyes tomorrow. It hasn't been safe to make a physical pilgrimage to Jerusalem until now. Dean Richard Sewell of the Anglican St. George College in Jerusalem invites people to pilgrimage in solidarity with the Palestinians. Lamentations offers us the opportunity to do just that from afar by learning from the suffering of displaced people and growing in empathy over their suffering. This is spiritual work that leads us to holy places and to becoming truly holy people. Lamentations names what is wrong, what is out of order in God's world, what keeps people from thriving in all their creative potential. Simple acts of lament expose those conditions and name them, open them to grief and anger, and make them visible for remedy. Scholar Tremper Longman III reflects on this timeless account of Lamentations 1 as an account typical of chaos stories. They are accounts with no beginning, no middle, and end, which tells of destructive events from which the storyteller has no distance, no capacity for interpretation, no ability to analyze, no effective way to separate himself from the calamity. They come in fragments by repetitive ways because the affliction is so overwhelming. Such stories represent an effort to make visible wounds that can only be hinted at, talked around. By witnessing the chaos stories of Rabla, of Gaza, of residential school survivors, and choosing to walk the mournful road with them, we find ourselves walking towards God's healing presence found in lament. And we can only walk it with others once we have opened the door to the pain of our own suffering, however small or great it has been in comparison to that of others. As I was writing this message, I was also hearing Bob Dylan's song running through my mind, a poet of the 60s and 70s. How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they are forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. In the final verse, yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The wind that is Ruach, that is the Spirit of God. How is a holy word that leads to lament, that gift of tearful poetry that teaches us and guides us until, as the book of Revelation says, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, comes down out of heaven from God to wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's our hope. Amen.